Kyrian is a world in strife, as it has always been since the age when Dark Gods came and ruled, the Dragon King fled. Since the age when heroes rose and overcame them and became gods in their own right. Since the age when those gods retreated from the world and took their miracles with them. And since the age when the Dragon King returned and burned the world in mistaken rage with their bound grey dragons. The dragons are no longer bound, and the cataclysm of the unbinding was over 500 years ago. Now people begin to whisper that the world has entered a new age, where the skilled and the lucky can rise above. They call it the Sword Age. It is an age of adventure. Join us now as we explore it in Dungeons & Dragons 5th Edition. Hello, and welcome to episode 176 of The Cult of Tea and Dice. I'm Mordrigan, and I will be your GM for today for D&D 5th Edition, Return of the White Death. I can't tell you the chapter name, it gives too much away, but it will be session 3 of that chapter that you all know the name of, because you can read, but I can't say it in front of my players because they haven't waited out yet. So anyway, I'm Mordrigan, I will be running the game.
I'm Hardwick, and I'm playing Elenil the Rogue Elf.
I'm Archive, and I'm playing Gilgwyn the Furball Cleric.
I am Blade, and I am playing Stone Skims Water, the Tabaxi Paladin.
I'm the Duck, and I'm playing Morsilor, the Half-Elf Bard.
And I am Allegory, I am playing Yekar, the Dragonkin Fighter.
Rogue Elf. You're an elf gone wild!
Yeah.
Sorry, that...
You're a loose cannon!
It jumped into my head, and I could not say it.
You're off the elf course.
So, we have a tea to review today. Now, I should point out, it is once again pretty warm.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, the current Cult Central only has a single window in the recording room, so we don't get any, like, through draft. So, it's not perfect for drinking hot tea, but blooded. Tell us about the tea.
Yeah, this tea, this is not a tea I brought back with me from America.
So it's an American tea.
It's American tea. It is Celestial Seasonings Jamming Lemon Ginger Herbal Tea.
It's jamming.
It's jamming. And we hope you like jamming too. I will confess, I mainly bought this because of the box.
It is jamming.
The box is amazing because it's got, on the front, it's got like a rabbit playing maracas, a fox that is wearing shades, playing a saxophone, a raccoon that has somehow turned two halves of a lemon into bongos, and a bear who appears to be having some kind of seizure, who has somehow turned a beehive into a cello, and is plucking it.
That was this plucking?
Plucking, yeah. Plucking, he might be doing something else. I might explain why he's got his tongue out and he's looking a bit weird. But yeah, all this on a box. It was just like, I saw this in Staker Brothers and it was just like, yeah, I have to take this tea back now.
We hope you like jamming too.
Well, the bear definitely does. So yeah, this is, it's ginger, lemongrass, lemon verbena, natural lemon and ginger flavours with other natural flavours, rose hips, I don't know why that's plural, roasted chicory and...
Because you don't put one hip in.
Yeah, give them both hips. Basically, this comes with instructions to both make it as a hot cup of tea and also to make it as iced tea. So, I would be interested in trying this as an iced tea at some point. I don't really have a facility to do that here. But yeah.
No, it would take planning for me to make iced tea. I like this tea.
Yeah, I need to try this now.
I like it. It's nice. It's lemony. It's gingery. It's quite pleasant. It doesn't have caffeine in. That is the only negative.
Ooh. Oh yeah, that's nice. Oh, that's really nice.
It's nice and citrusy. Mm. Now, obviously, Archive is looking at us all like we're mental.
Archive is not. Is it the lemon or the ginger you don't like? Or is it both?
Oh, it's the lemon.
It's the lemon.
This is actually, it's gingery enough that I don't hate it as much as I usually do. Mm. Like lemon teas.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
It's still too lemony.
It's still too lemony.
That's fair. The lemon is really is sort of front and centre, but the ginger sort of kicks in after a moment.
There's
a fire to it.
Yeah, it's effectively the second taste.
Hmm. Well, I'm going to say lemon.
I know we're getting technical.
Ginger lemon, so.
Yeah.
Lemon is clearly meant to be the predominant flavour.
It's the base tone. With the ginger being the subtle highlights. I know I'm getting technical. What about you?
I like tea with lemon.
Yeah. And you like tea with ginger.
I like tea with ginger.
Right.
But this is a bit too lem sippy for me.
Oh, that's what it tastes like.
There is a lem slip to it without the paracetamol aftertaste.
You see,
yeah.
I think the reason why that doesn't affect me is I never have lem sip. Not ever.
I try to avoid the lemon and honey ones.
Yeah. Well, my problem is, of course, you know, the paracetamol aftertaste. That's a super taster. That's not nice.
Yeah. It's not nice as a regular taster.
No.
I never have lemon sip because I think the lemon's horrible.
They do like a blackcurrant one.
Did they?
They do
okay.
A blackcurrant one.
Fair
so
enough.
Get that instead.
I mean, it's alright.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's alright.
So we have to pass it over to our resident tea hater.
I'm not keen on it this week. I tried it without any sugar in. And I was like, the flavor's not great. Maybe adding some sugar will help. And it didn't help. I actually think I may have made it worse, adding sugar. Because I think I added like 3 spoons.
Fucking hell.
And I was like, 1 spoonful, that's not enough. It didn't taste very good. A second, maybe it could do with 1 more. It didn't taste very good last time. And then I added a 3rd and I think I made it worse, to be honest.
It's probably a good one to add honey to.
Yes. Adding honey to it would do it. Especially if you had a cold.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And some whiskey.
Yeah. And, you know, like, another cup of tea.
Yeah.
Because this doesn't have caffeine in.
Yeah.
That's my biggest problem with it. We're all going to fall asleep about 2 hours in. Actually, our sessions never run for 2 hours. We're lucky if we get 1 hour and 45 recorded. That's after I cut out 1/2 hour of talking shit.
That makes sense, yeah. We do talk a lot of rubbish.
Yeah, but we talk a vast amount of shit.
Rubbish.
Shall we move on then?
No, the stuff I cut is not the amusing shit. I leave the amusing shit in. I just cut the,
I
cut that. That's
like the most British orgy ever. Say it like that.
Oh, that's spiffing. Oh yes. Oh, that's hitting the spot.
Little to the left.
Oh yes. Oh, I'm very sorry.
No, that's.
I'm terribly sorry to interrupt. Did someone bring the loo?
I do have 1 more thing to add about the tea.
Okay.
I am a iced tea drinker.
Mm.
So I would like to try it as an iced tea, I think, at some point. I think one of these days I will do the forward planning and I'll make a batch of iced tea at home.
Do that.
And bring it over.
We will drink it.
And
then go, it's tea, but it's cold.
Look,
what the fuck?
Iced tea is good though. I like iced tea.
Oh no, I have had it because I went to Texas once. And I asked for tea and I got this stuff and I'm like, what the fuck?
And they also give you a complimentary gun.
Weirdly, I took a sip and a piece of ice hit me in the face and I was like, I'm not sure what's going. You know those cats who see a cucumber and freak the fuck out? That was me. I was in the middle of, I think it was Dallas Fort Worth airport. And I went, what the shit and fuck was that? There's something in my tea. And my tea's cold. And there's something in it. Oh my god, what is this? No. Let's put it in the air. Disappeared behind us, behind all the suitcases. But anyway. Do you have a tea this time, Allegory?
I have a tea, and while the box doesn't have wonderful art, it's just got some hilariously over-the-top freaking descriptions. It's like a new age album in written form.
Oh, go on.
read it to us.
This is Tazo Wild Sweet Orange. a juicy herbal infusion of orange peel, lemongrass, citrus herbs, and licorice root, although it apparently has a bunch of other shit in there. Partially produced with genetic engineering, because we have to tell people that now, because this country is an idiot. But no, the fun part are the instructions.
Right.
Steep and begin a journey that spans continents and centuries on speed of sound steam trains. Sip the sun, rain, and fog of the morning. These delicate botanicals were picked. Explore lemongrass lawns, carpets of chamomile, and the living history of your ancestors. Taste with all your senses, but most of all with your imagination. Each cup is a story unfolding with every sip. Steep yourself in knowledge at tasso.com.
What?
So, it's imaginary tea, right?
Wow.
That is definitely tea that is marketing itself to hipsters.
It's pretentious.
What does it taste like with your imagination?
I mean, it's like every line is just weirder than the next.
That's what the instructions just said steep. They didn't say for how bloody long. Not very good instructions.
Those are British.
There's actually specific ones on the side.
2.4 minutes.
Bring fresh filtered water to a boil. Pour water over filter bag in your cup. Let steep for 5 minutes and wait for perfection.
Define perfection.
Now, you see, that's like a Zen koan. Because you make the tea, but then you wait for perfection. And so for the rest of your life, that tea sits there.
Until you reach
Atman Brahman and become one with the universe.
And
yeah.
Yoga jokes, very few people guess.
But when you do that, then you can taste it with your imagination.
Yes.
Yeah. You don't even need to drink it.
Why were you pursuing Atman Brahman? Because I wanted to taste my tea.
Explore it most of all with your imagination. It feels like a preemptive apology for it not tasting very good.
It doesn't taste very good, but your imagination will really enjoy this tea.
So, how does it taste?
Like shit.
Well, the interesting thing I noticed was the bag smelled much stronger than the actual tea. Like, some teas kind of have a really strong scent in and of themselves. This smells virtually like nothing unless you get your nose right up to it, once you've made it. But the bag, you open it up and it smells pretty much exactly like when you're zesting or peeling an orange. So I was looking forward to a really great aromatic tea, and instead it's just like, nope, your experience is over once you've made it.
You should have imagined
steeping it for longer.
But the taste is kind of interesting.
Interesting is a
you're not
a resounding.
It's not quite the experience they hyped it up to be, but I'm not sure what would be short of Dio coming to your house and singing happy birthday to you.
That would require necromancy, so.
I'm not sure happy birthday is really appropriate either. You want some sort of orange themed song.
Yeah.
Well, true.
Jesus.
It's okay.
I like my left ear.
I don't know that I'd spend $5 on 20 packs again, but it's an iced tea to have. I think it would be better as an iced tea, like y'all's, interestingly, better as an iced tea than a hot tea. I did try one weird thing with it that I thought was actually super great.
Sorry, we're being facetious, but go on.
I put whipped cream in it, and I swear to God, it tastes like an orange creamsicle.
I think at this point, Argo is imagining you fucking the tea.
No, I don't want an orange creamsicle.
Well, you said you did something weird with it, and she started giggling.
Well,
he raised the finger.
I did raise the finger, honestly.
Well, yeah, I was thinking the same thing, but I haven't done mine.
Anyway. So that was nice.
No, it's not great, it's interesting.
I should point out, we got a comment today. Now, we don't often get comments on the website, but it was from a company called Lovely TTs. And they were asking if they could link to one of our Dresden Files sessions on their tea-based blog and shop. So I said yes.
Is this all about the murder in a tea shop?
Oh, God.
No, it's the second one. I think it's the one where I assault a guy with a hatchet to knock him out while we rob a drink. So... That's only going to go really well. However, I did take a quick look at their website, and I might actually go on there and order some of their teas so we can have some lovely tea.
Was it their tea that we were reviewing?
No. We've mostly been reviewing the Neil Street Tea Shop. But now that they've made us aware, I think we will try lovely teas.
I'll try.
Hang on a minute. That sounded wrong. Lovely TTs. Lovely TTs. Yes, it sounds like a carry-on film waiting to happen, doesn't it, really? But anyway, we've talked crap for the last 15 minutes. Somebody tell me what's going on.
We have no idea.
The bar turned out to be a really poor bouncy castle.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, he did.
Barbs don't bounce.
That land shark's overweight capacity.
We're going to make a sign that says Bard is a bouncy
castle at a funeral home.
It was more like a splitch than a boing. But anyway, what actually is going on?
So, we had been tasked with going out to the town of...
Hain something or other.
Stag.
Staghain. That was it. The town of Staghain. And investigating the reoccurrence of the White Death. And who
Which is bad.
Yeah.
But worse this time.
Which appears to be deliberately magically engineered, so we have to find out who's behind it and put a stop to them.
Yeah.
So, we're going to need to head out. Our cleric went and prayed, and...
A branch fell on them.
A branch with a coin embedded in the end of it fell on them. Mm. And there was some localized snow in the middle of summer.
Yeah.
When
it was hot.
Yes.
Also, some people bought some stuff from Granny Hylanax.
Rufus was hilarious.
Granny Hylanax was amazing and terrifying and amazing. And then we set forth on our way with the grumpy cart holder and our wondrous draft oxen, Tim.
Yep.
All hail Tim.
All hail Tim.
The draft oxen. So we were dropped a day's walk from... Staghain.
Yep.
And we set forth walking. Well, we actually turned to have some lunch because the river had pretty much disappeared, which meant there was red lake pools full of fish that couldn't go anywhere unless were easy catching. Of course, it was only after this the road pointed out, you do know the White Death is waterborne, right? So,
whose idea was it to drink to eat these fish? Okay, such a bad idea.
Okay, yeah, admittedly that one was on me. Okay, well, no one stopped us until afterwards. Also, I'm pretty sure you ate the fish as well.
I did, but
only afterwards
did I remember that
this fish tastes like
this was a bad idea.
We're all gonna die now.
This fish, it tastes like death.
Well, that would have burned to it. Although, in our defense, as we were walking along, none of the animals that were eating the fish seemed to be affected by it. So that was interesting. But as we wandered along,
certainly not immediately,
we heard some odd noises over a hillock, so the bard decided to scout ahead.
Not the rogue, not the stealthy rogue, the bard.
The bard.
I'm pretty stealthy.
He just rolled terribly.
I do have plus 8 in stealth.
That's pretty stealthy. Yeah.
And he just happened to run into the world's most eagle-eyed land shark, which immediately pounced on him and almost killed him in one blow.
It did kill him in one blow. It crushed him to pate.
Well, it didn't kill him.
Okay, it was a 0 hit points in one blow.
I was trying to think of an artful, non-mechanical way of saying it.
He was bleeding out.
He was bleeding out.
From multiple skull, bone, spine, and pelvis rashes.
Luckily, the cleric was able to pump some magical healing into him.
Everybody managed to persuade the bard not to thunder wave the thing that was sitting on top of him.
Yeah, because that would have been bad. Mainly because, you know, both myself and Jakar had
up?
Charged
must go down.
And started... Sorry, also we found out that no, he can't just taunt the land shark to death.
No.
And to do... Actually, you fat-shamed the land shark.
Yes.
He's a land whale.
Land
yes.
Words hurt, man. Words
you,
hurt.
You fat-shamed the land whale until it went away.
Yep.
I hope you feel proud of yourself.
I do feel proud.
You heard it here first. The duck is a terrible person.
Anyway. So, having driven it off, we investigated...
Oh, wow, that bit's gingery. God damn.
The remains of the cart it was hanging out on,
hmm.
Where we found some jewels, some surprisingly intact barrels of ale?
Wine?
One barrel of ale and 9 bottles of wine, I believe.
And some gems. And some silver. And some silver. Yep. So that was nice.
And some gold as well.
And then we realised in the distance we could see something...
That looked like a castle.
It looked like a castle.
It's sort of mid to late afternoon. It looks to you like the castle's maybe probably 3 hours walk away. So you get there about, 6 at night, 7 at night. Still gonna be light because it's summer.
Hmm.
It'll be light till probably about 8 or 9.
In that time, do I want to do this? I'm just thinking, do I want to use one of my hit dice?
Are you all taking a short rest to allow the bard to take a breather and, you know, put his bones back in?
I mean, I did get healed back up to 24 hit points by spells and healy stuff. So if we think that we're going to maybe have a long rest in the night before we go into the castle, then I won't bother. But if we plan on going into night, then I will.
I don't quite remember what the plan was, because we don't want to open the door.
Did you think we were going to scale the wall?
The plan was the wall, because we weren't really interested in the docks, but then we remembered the whole, waterborne thing. So the wall, climbing the wall seemed the best of a set of not amazing options. But we figured we can actually climb these, or at least one of us can climb well enough that we can get a rope up and then just pull everyone else up.
So are we planning on doing that at night?
Well, that would be the stealthiest way in.
So should I use a couple of hit dice?
We could approach closer and then decide if we wish to rest or not before we go in.
Yeah.
Yeah,
depending how light it is.
Yeah, we need to figure out where on the wall we're going to climb, because there's a lot of wall.
Mm. So we could approach to near enough that we can
get a better look.
Get a better look, and not so near that they will necessarily look at us.
If anyone is watching.
Yeah.
They might be. Or they might be. You just don't know.
So, short rest, yes or no?
I think no. We're going to
know
what we get there.
We're going to move up and keep an eye out for anyone watching.
So, you move along. And you're keeping an eye out. You do notice that here, it seems like this stretch of the river that you're walking alongside is particularly dry here. So there's obviously far fewer streams upstream from where you're currently standing towards the town. And there's a series of rises, like long, wide hills. As you know, the kingdom itself is a big valley that runs pretty much northwest to southeast along this part of the continent, which means the hills tend to run northwest to southeast as well. So while the mountains are ahead of you, you've got these low hills as you approach the town. And they've got quite deep valleys between them, so you spend quite a lot of time walking along and not really able to see anything. But then you start coming upwards towards the the beginning of the next rising year. The path switched back a couple of times to get you quite a steep hill, and the steep hill continues on the other side of the relatively dry riverbed. And on that side, it's mostly covered in, like, pine woods heading up towards the mountains. To the left of you, it widens out, so there's a big flat area on top of the hill, and then there's much more deciduous, thick forest along that side. You've been walking down maybe a strip of maybe a couple of hundred metres of relatively clear land between the two sets of woodland along the river. Obviously, either people keep cutting the trees back to keep the road clear, or the river occasionally floods and larger trees don't get a look in. But as you come to the rise, you switch back up the rise and you reach the top of it, and you may now look at the picture I sent you all.
Okay.
The first thing you notice is the river has cut a cut through this rise. But on the other side of where the rise is, there is a dam. And that dam seems to have been, initially made of barges, you think? But now has got... But yeah, there's a dam that seems to have been made by, like, sunken barges, and then bales of some description, and bits of wood, and all sorts. And it's just piled up at the... where the river cuts through the hill.
And you get Twitter DMs now.
All of the lowland, which you reckon was probably farmland, is now at least a couple of foot underwater, all the way up to the city walls. Now the town has a wall all the way around it, 12 foot high in most places, although up to about 16, 17 foot where the castle is. There's a gate directly in front of you, as you look towards the town, which is the Kelsey Gate, and it is filled with rubble. It looks like it was designed to collapse, because the gate itself is still standing, but the whole of the inside of the hole is just filled with blocks of stone. Along the river, you can see that there are docks, which are now actually almost about a foot underwater. There are no boats tied up at those docks anymore, you presume, because they're in the dam. And there's a couple of cranes on the walls. Again, you can see a big gate over there, but it seems like it's collapsed. Out towards sort of the north-northwesty sort of area, you see another road coming out of the town. The water hasn't quite reached all the way to that road, and you can't see that gate from where you're standing. But in the marshland between you and the walls, you can see, like, the odd cottage sticking up out of the waters, like a couple of hay bales, haystacks and so on. You can't see anything else. You can see, like, the lines of hedges just sticking up out of the water. It looks between 2 or maybe in some deeper places 3 foot deep.
Do we want to avoid that water?
Can you all make me a perception check?
Allegory, would you like me to roll for you?
Sure. Alright, finally can get into my Twitter.
Remind me what we're rolling again?
D20 plus your perception skill, which is your wisdom bonus plus your proficiency if you're proficient in it.
So that is a 15 in total for me, and a 16 in total for Chakar.
I got 7 in total.
I got 14.
Nice.
What am I adding? Wisdom. Efficiency. That's
23. Jesus.
Okay, so those of you over 10, notice that there's a church sort of... The town seems to be split into four quadrants by the main roads, and the western quadrant seems to have a big church in it. From this distance, you can't really tell what god it's a church of, although I would allow clerics and paladins to make a religion check.
I didn't see it.
You didn't see it. So. Well, at the top of the spire, about two-thirds of the way up the spire, there's a light. Like a lantern or something. Hmm. It's not very noticeable because it's still relatively light outside, but there is a light in the spire. Do you want to make me a religion check?
Yeah. 12.
It is probably a church of Tormanus, the god of the forge. He's big up here. They do a lot of iron work. For you, Mrs. Sharp Eyes Rogy Rogue, you see, you're looking at the town and you spot the light, which is fine. You look over at the castle, which is, it's built into a corner of the city wall. The city walls there have become much taller. And then it has an arc cutting it off from the rest of the town with three round towers on it. And it itself is a big drum tower, about twice the size of the actual the castle walls itself.
Right.
And you definitely see somebody walk past one of the windows in the castle.
Wow.
You also see, you realize that those cranes have been being used relatively recently. Well, actually, the ones outside the wall haven't been used. The ones inside the wall have. Because they're obviously intended to, so you don't have to wait to go through the river gate. You just haul stuff up, bring it over the wall, lower it down. Presumably to put it into a market or a warehouse on the other side.
Hmm.
But the one on the inside of the wall, the pallet, is up at the top. And you'd only really send it up to the top if you were about to receive something. So that seems a bit weird to you.
That is a bit weird. I shall point out the crane business.
Mm.
Look, it's been used.
Oh. Right.
That's a bit odd.
It is.
What would they be wanting to...
Maybe those people hiding up on top of the pallet to stay away from the zombies.
It's on the top of the wall. It's been lifted up and then swung out, and the pallet has been lowered onto the top of the wall.
Oh, I see. Maybe the zombies are intelligent and they're moving themselves out of the city into the river.
Zombies don't tend to be intelligent. Of course, someone intelligent could be making the zombies do stuff.
I'm just coming up with ideas.
Okay, that's fine. I'm just saying it's like not a
bad Your last thing. Idea was to go bother a bullet.
Okay, I didn't say they were good ideas, but normally what happens is I just keep saying bad ideas until someone goes, oh wait, here's a good idea to shut him up. So.
Right.
I'm gonna climb the wall and see what's up there.
That's a good idea.
How daylight is it still?
You've probably, well, it's coming on towards sort of evening. So you've got low to twilight for an hour and a half, easy.
Okay. Because there's a couple of things here. One, where are we climbing the wall? Two, how are we getting to that point in the wall considering this place is now surrounded by what is essentially a swamp?
Mm-hmm. Go around the swamp, because as we discovered last time, the water is bad for you.
Well,
health-wise.
Eating the fish that was in the water is probably bad for us health-wise.
If this is waterborne, it may be bad for us.
Well.
If this is the case.
I need to actually have a look at the skills.
Well, you see, I was just going to pump us all full of a bit of my nice touchy glowy hand stuff before we go to sleep. See, that helped.
I mean, it wouldn't be
anyone
the most...
fancy making an investigation check? Just a quick one.
I'll give it a shot.
Why not?
Ooh.
Jakar, would you like to make an investigation check?
12.
Yes.
19.
Oh.
11.
That is a 19 from Jakar and a 7 from...
Okay, the paladin and the warrior, you pretty much realize this both at the same time. The town is a river town. It's a river town next to a river that probably floods quite regularly, which means the walls are probably designed to deal with flood water. The gate has been collapsed. The water's probably not inside the city.
Okay. Okay. So you're thinking what I'm thinking?
The inside of the town is probably, even if it's slightly flooded, it'll only be near the gates.
Okay. So inside the town should still be dry.
So how long would it take us to walk around? Is this the flooded area? This
yes, bit the bit with the marsh signals.
Okay.
Yeah, the point is
so there. How long would it take us to walk around that to the north entrance?
What, to...
Hammer Gate? Is that
the Hammer Gate? Yeah, you can get across to the spur of the hill over there. Probably only take you about 20 minutes, 25 minutes maybe. You'd have to walk through quite thick grass. It's obvious they don't farm up on the hill, particularly because it's difficult to plow a fucking hill. And then, yeah, the water is very shallow there.
Okay.
It is still out almost as far as the road, but it's only maybe 6 inches.
Okay.
From what you're looking at.
Would we rather take a little bit longer and avoid wading through the water and risking disease?
I think it's probably an idea to try and find as little waterlogged approach as possible.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds like a plan to me.
Yeah.
Okay, let's do that then.
Yeah.
So you start walking through the thick grass on the top of the hill. Your legs making a pleasant shuff shuff sound through the long grass. It's quite nice.
Yekar will kind of take a point.
Okay.
And yes, his sword is out.
Okie dokie. Yeah, you sort of walk. You're basically walking along the ridge of the hill because it splits at this point, so the main majority of the hill runs almost pretty much straight west, and this is a spur that goes out towards the northwest-ish sort of area. So you're walking along the ridge of the hill. It does mean that you're fairly obvious.
But does it also mean we have a better view of what's in the flooded marshy village?
Yeah, you can't see anybody moving about.
No.
The waters seem mostly calm. You see the odd ripple, possibly maybe like some river fish that's having a bounty as it's going, oh my goodness, there's all of this grain lying about. I'm just going to have a bit of that. Om nom nom. You do see the occasional big sort of boom, as if maybe in that water there's something a bit bigger.
Yeah.
Occasionally there are crocodiles in rivers up here.
Right.
If you walk down to the end of the spur and you get down to, like, the level of the plain, you're not quite in it yet. And you reckon the Hammer Road, which actually goes to Hammerbind, which is a town off to the west, is raised up about 5 foot from the general level of the valley floor. So it's up out of the water. Between you and it, there's maybe 6 inches of water, some hedges and such. So it's not very deep here because you're all the way round to the area that hasn't quite flooded yet.
Are there any windows or such, like, in the actual walls?
In the town walls, no.
I say we just go, someone's going to need to climb up and just have a peek over.
Okay. Anyone here good at being climbing and being sneaky about it?
Everybody immediately looks at the bard.
The one who we decided shouldn't do this stuff.
What is climbing based on?
Either athletics or acrobatics, I think.
Yeah.
Your choice.
And you can get advantage if you have a climbing kit.
I can give it a go. Do I have a climbing kit? I do have a... I do have a length of rope.
You didn't draw that length of rope.
What is everybody's passive perception, please?
12.
14.
Is that 13?
Yeah,
is that...
for Jakar.
That's the one in the square, yeah.
13.
So, 13.
14.
14 is the highest.
Okay.
Off to the right, you see a...
Guys, I think there's something in the water.
It's towards the deeper section.
I kind of stand back and draw my sword and get behind someone.
it's a good 50 or 60 foot away from the land.
Okay, well, I'm still getting behind the dragonborn. Because he seems bulky.
Oh my.
So what are you doing?
Should we climb?
You haven't reached the walls yet. You're still standing on the hill.
Yeah, we need to get to the road first.
But I'll lead the way to the road.
Okay, you leap down off the hill and start splooching through the water.
I attempt to stealth less splooshily through the water.
Yes, you can. That will be interesting.
It's a 15.
Okay, bear with me. Okay. What's everybody else doing? Jakar is marching through the... It's not very deep. It's about 6 inches. It is, like, very silty. You can't see the footing below. But it doesn't seem very deep.
I'll follow.
Okay, so you sploosh along after him. The bard insinuates himself through the water. Febolk?
I will walk. I'm familiar with swamps.
So you... trudge after them, not quite as splooshily, because you know about swamps. Using your stick ahead of you to look for, like, holes.
Yes.
Rogue.
I'm going to go more carefully.
Stealthily or carefully? Or both?
Both.
Okay. Make me a stealth check. Oh, shit.
Well, that's a good start.
Okay, so you step down into the water. And you start moving stealthily through the water. And you're all finding it actually relatively hard going, because it's obvious the water's been standing here a while, so the ground underneath is actually really sodden and squelchy mud, even though it's not very deep here. And you're walking along, the bard is stealthing along, making nearly a ripple. Everybody else is just being marching along. You're checking ahead of you, and you find this big pothole, and you're like, oh, I'm not falling down that. And you walk around it, and the rope goes, sploosh, face first into the water. There is a colossal splash.
Push her back out.
Just go right ahead and put a tip on the top of the
at this point, Yakar stops, checks behind, sees what's going on, and then doesn't keep advancing, just waits.
Okay. Yeah. You know that?
I'm gonna follow.
You know that blooping
thing?
You see a couple more.
Oh dear.
They're a little bit closer.
Guys, I remember how I said there were things in the water? There are definitely things in the water.
Okay, right, let's move a little faster then.
So, are you picking the pace up and heading straight for the road?
Yeah.
Okay, you pick up the pace and you start jogging in that direction. Are you following suit?
I see no need to jog.
Okay, so you're going to continue with your slow and steady pace. You were following the firbolg. So the two warriors head off towards the road at speed. Rogue, are you heading off towards the road at speed or no?
Yeah, I think I shall say to the slower...
Where is Tim? Is Tim with us?
Yes.
Is he keeping up?
He's keeping up with the Tabaxi who has the rope.
Okay. Come on, Tim. Come on.
Right then. First things first.
Okay.
I require the warrior and the paladin to make a reflex saving throw.
Shit. Okay. Reflex saving throw.
That's just dex plus proficiency.
If you've got it proficient.
Or what?
If you're proficient.
Dex. I don't know
saving
how.
Throw, is it?
It's d20 plus.
Dex bonus.
Yeah. It's just your dex bonus if
okay.
You're...
So, he gets plus two. I get minus one.
That's a five for your car.
That's a zero!
Okay, so... What the rest of you see happen is... The two warriors go running towards the raised up path. And it's when they both disappear underneath the water, you think... Oh yeah, a raised up path, they'd have ditches for water runoff, wouldn't they? Yeah, that's a thing that they'd have. As both of them just go, and as they both fall into the ditch, that is covered by the 6 inches of water. Unfortunately, that is also when the bloops you've been seeing from the right-hand side of you, turn into surges. Three of them heading towards where they have just disappeared. There also seems to be more of them appearing behind those ones. Another four, in fact. You all get to make a single action. Actually, we'll go to initiative at this point. We will do initiative, because that will make working out who does what.
Oof, wow, I got a sterling four on that.
Okay, well, this is going to be a very weird fight. I'm just going to say it now.
That's a four for Morselor and a 3 for Jakar on the initiative.
Okay, what's initiative again?
Just a dex bonus.
Oh, just the dex bonus. Oh, dex bonus roll.
Yeah, roll and add your dex bonus.
Okay.
You'll be
6.
Zero, so.
Okay, is anyone higher than 17? Okay. 16, 15, 14, 13. 13 is the rogue. What is your character's name?
Elenil.
And you said you were on 13?
Yeah.
12, 11, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6.
Oh, me.
Furbolg, and your name is?
Gilgwen.
Gilgwen. And you're on 7? 6.
6.
5? Okay. 4. The paladin, who is...
Stony.
Stony, on 4. And the bard, who is...
Morselor.
Morselor is also on 4. 3
is Jakar.
Jakar is on 3.
Right. It really is Jakar.
Well, Yekar.
Sorry.
Yekar is on 3. He may have his name pronounced correctly now. He may have his name pronounced correctly now, but he's definitely not going first.
Do we have time to do an action?
You do have time for an action.
I'd like to cast one of my cantrips, Minor Illusion, and I'd like to make a splashing, splooshing sound over, kind of, away from the two people who have just fallen in, maybe trying to distract whatever is swimming towards them.
What is your spells, your spell...
It's spell save DC is 16.
Okay.
So they need to do an intelligence investigation to try and figure out that it's not real.
Okay, cool. I've made that roll. You make a splashy sound off to the right.
Just to be clear, it specifically says it's an image or a sound.
Yep.
Yeah, but so it doesn't have any physical effects, so it's just a splashing sound, so there's no vibrations in the water or anything.
That's fine. That's
rare, then.
Right then, so... actually, we should have gone to the rogue first. Rogue, you've got an action. At the moment, you can't see anyone.
Right, am I on the path?
No, you're still in the water.
Right.
They, basically, there's a line of you, the firbolg, and the bard at the back.
Yeah.
Then maybe 25 feet ahead, your two friends just disappeared under the water.
Mm-hmm.
And Tim is just standing there looking down at the water confusedly.
Right.
And then 5 foot ahead of that is the raised thing. About 30 foot to your right, there are three bubbly wave things heading in a straight line sort of towards where those two disappeared.
Right.
And then 20 feet further behind those, so 50 feet away total, there's another four. Interestingly, they all seem to, they seem to be coming in two sets of lines.
Drainage ditches?
Presumably, yes. They're moving along the drainage ditches fairly rapidly.
Okay. Let's see if I've got something. Right.
Oh, I was just about to ask, did you get all your spell cards? But I see that you have.
Yeah. They're in piles. So they're 30 feet
away. The nearest three are 30 feet from you. The other four are further 20 feet beyond that.
Well, I won't do that then, because I was looking for something to throw at the distraction, but...
Well, there is very shortly going to be a splishy splashy sound off to the right.
Yes. Well, the only useful thing I could really throw is 100 ball bearings, but that could get
really
painful.
Not really so useful.
Not really useful, no.
In watery mud.
No. So, instead, I'm going to get out my short sword.
Okay, you pull out your weapons and ready yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Firbolg. Gilgrin.
The only obvious thing I can see to do is I don't know how well this will work in the water, because how well can we see these things? Are they just like bubbles?
They're just ripples moving along the surface.
So we can't see a thing yet.
It seems like there is something under the water moving at speed.
Yeah, but I'm guessing for casting stuff on it, I can't actually see it.
No.
Right.
You do have time to do things like maybe bless or things like that before they get there.
Hmm. Let me look through this pile. Most of those things are at touch range. Oh no, how far ahead are those guys?
Who? The rogue and the bard are standing right next to you.
Yeah, they are.
The other two, you're not certain, they've just disappeared under the water.
Okay, what's more likely to happen right now? Like ability checks or saving throws?
Saving throws.
Okay.
Ability checks are for things like, I want to climb that wall and so on. Saving throws are, a thing is doing a thing to me. I want to protect myself from the thing.
Okay. Well, I've got a cantrip.
Okay.
That will help one willing creature at touch range for up to a minute.
Okay.
That's probably the most useful thing I've got right now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, you can't see the enemy, so.
Yeah.
So who do you fill up?
I'm going to fill up the bard because he probably needs it.
Okay, and what spell is it you're using?
Resistance.
Okay, I think that is a specific saving throw that it gives bonus to, or is it all of
them? No, it says once before the spell ends, which is in a minute, the target can roll a d4 and add the number rolled to one saving throw of its choice.
Okay, cool.
And it can roll the die before or after making the saving throw.
Okay.
And then the spell ends.
So you get the spell resistance, Mr. Bard.
Awesome.
Okay. At this point, it becomes the paladin's one action.
desperately going to try and scrabble up.
It's not difficult. Because the water's only 6 inches deep, when you stand up, it's only, this ditch is only like 4.5 foot deep in water. So you've got your arms and chest to put water now. And Tim sort of snuffles in your ear. However, you can see three, like, ripples in a line heading presumably down the ditch straight towards you. And another four off in the distance going down a parallel ditch, you think, maybe?
Okay. Can I get up at least onto the banks and get my weapon out?
You can get up onto the banks, or you can get your weapon out.
I'll get my weapon.
Okay, you pull out your glaive and hold it above the water. Bard, you make splishy noises.
Yes.
Yakar, you're currently under the water.
Stand up.
Yep. You've got one action. Do you want? You already had your weapon out, though.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I assume I see all the same rippling effects as...
And you hear a funny splishy sound off in the distance. I'm not going to make you make a resistance check to see if you fall for it.
How exciting. Well, since the paladin seems to be a mite frantic, going to... I assume the things coming towards us are not... in melee range.
You can't see them, they're 30 foot away at the moment.
Well, I'm going to interpose myself between the paladin and the Ripley things.
Okay, you stick yourself in front of Sterling. Instantly that involves shuffling down the ditch a bit. Okay. At the top of the round then, the first thing that happens is from the other drainage ditch, about 50 foot out, these humanoid creatures pull themselves out of the water. They look like humans. If humans were sort of black and slimy, big drooping mouths, like misshapen jaws, and desiccated stomachs, they look like the sort of thing you'd see if somebody hadn't eaten for centuries. Their ribs are showing, and you can almost see the spine. They're that thin. And they sort of drag themselves out of the ditch and look around in a sort of bestial manner. Look over towards where the ripples are heading towards you lot. And look over to the group of three people and then run 30 foot towards you, ending 20 foot away from you lot.
From us three?
Yes. One of the ripples in the thing splooshes on ahead and explodes out of the water just in front of Yakar, and it's another one of these things. It leaps directly towards him and tries to claw and bite at him. It will try and claw at him to begin with. I'm guessing, though, that 12 won't hit his AC.
Yep.
No, sorry, 11 won't hit his AC. So this desiccated human explodes up out of the water and claws at you with filth encrusted fingernails that are twisted. Well, it almost seems like the bones of the finger have lengthened and poked out through the flesh to make rudimentary claws, and it just rakes its claws across your armor, but it doesn't pierce it. The smell is quite unpleasant. At which point it becomes the rogues go, and then
so we've got how many in front of us?
You've got, 130 foot in front of you, assaulting your car.
Yep.
And four.
Oh, it was four,
okay. I think it is four. Four, 20 foot from you, on your right hand side.
Oh, okay.
They look like desiccated people who obviously need a good meal.
They're efficient.
They also seem to have not been very bothered by the fact that they've been underwater for a very long time.
Yeah, that's worrying.
Because you've been seeing those ripples move about for well spell over a couple of minutes. Also, they don't seem bothered by your splishy splashy noises.
Yeah.
I tell you what I rolled, but it would make you sad. It's like, oh.
Splishy splashy.
Even with their minus two intelligence, it was like, So what are you doing, LNL? You've got two actions.
Yeah.
So a move and an action, or a move and... Well, actually, you've also then got a bonus action, obviously. Although you're not in close combat yet, so disengage wouldn't do you much good. No. And there's nothing to hide behind apart from Tim.
Tim
and he's way over there.
He might be useful at some point.
Wow.
Sacrifice Tim.
For the greater good. Son of a bitch.
Don't
hear me thinking this.
If you try to sacrifice Tim,
we will eat you.
Yeah.
Why? Tim's dead.
Well,
that's Tim.
That was an aggressive escalation.
Is it? I went quickly.
Rogue.
Is it an action to get out my... I want to change my mind and get out my bow.
If you just drop your sword,
yeah. You
can get your bow out
right. And
then fire it this round.
Right.
But your sword would end up under the water.
I don't know.
If you put your sword carefully away
yeah. And
then draw your bow, I would say that's probably two half actions. I can check though. I think ready your weapon is a half action. What I'll do then is I'll say that you use an object, and so you can put your sword away and draw your bow as a half action, and then you can still fire it.
Right, okay.
But bear in mind, going forwards, that enemies will also be able to do exactly the same thing.
Okay.
Just saying that.
It is a free action to draw or sheathe a sword, so you can put it away, but then I think to
readying
take it
the
out
bow is a half action.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, cool. There you go. You've got your bow, and now you can make a shot.
Right, okay.
So, do you just shoot the lead one of these weird algae-covered freaks?
Yeah, pretty much.
Fair enough.
Sixteen.
Okay, well, that will definitely beat their AC. You sink an arrow directly into one. Roll me some damage. Bear in mind, it is the damage of the bow plus your dex bonus because it is a ranged weapon.
Yeah. So that's rubbish. That's six in total.
Six, okay. Yeah, it sinks into his sort of weird emaciated ribcage. He sort of staggers back and then keeps running. At which point, it becomes Gilgwyn, the Furbolg. There's freaks.
Yeah.
There's several of them.
Yeah.
And four of them are running straight towards you.
It might be time for magic.
It may well be.
Okay. Okay, I might actually try using a scary spell.
Oh, what scary spell are you using?
I might try using Guiding Bolt.
Okay, and what are you using it on? Which one? Any in particular, or don't you care?
I don't care.
Okay.
One of the ones that's running towards us.
Okay, fair. Bear with me, I'm just going to pull up Guiding Bolt. Guiding Bolt. It's the really nice one, isn't it? So, pages stuck together. Guiding Bolt. Make a ranged spell attack.
How do you do that?
You see your spell attack bonus on your second sheet.
Yeah.
Roll a d20 and add that, and then get over their AC, which you don't know yet, but is lower than 16.
It's 15.
It's also lower than 15. You hit.
Hooray!
Now roll 4d6 damage.
Okay. Thirteen.
Okay, so you don't shoot at the one that the rogue is shooting at. You raise your hand and call upon VL to help you, and then blow your hand towards one of the creatures running towards you. This radiant energy forms around the furball's hand and then streaks out towards this creature, hitting it square in the chest and causing it to go... it staggers back, and these glowing lines of radiant energy then spread out and illuminate the whole creature so you can see exactly where it is. That creature is now much easier to hit on the next time.
What was the spell for?
Guiding Bolt. It's fantastic. At which point, bad things occur. Yes, that uses up one of your spells.
It does. I've made a note. It's fine.
Yakar and Stoney. The two ripples behind the critter that is attacking Yakar explode upwards out of the water. One of them scrambles up onto the walkway and the other one sort of goes the other way and heads straight towards Tim. These don't look like the other guys. They're beefier. They're a little bit taller. They still look emaciated. They've got much longer finger claws. They're beefier and their tongues loll out of their faces. Also, they utterly stink. They smell of rotten meat, rotten feces, pus and death. Additionally, the one who's just leaped up onto the causeway has made rudimentary armour for itself by nailing coins to its body. Literally, its whole body is just studded in armour made of coins. And it's wearing a necklace made of coins, which are also nailed to its body. They leap up out of the water. The first one will attack Tim, but fail utterly to hit him. It rushes towards Tim, and Tim just sort of sidles sideways and it slips over in the mud. The other one leaps up onto the causeway and then attacks down at you. I think that may give him a high ground advantage, which you should have.
Yes.
The high ground.
So
I suspect it may give him advantage.
Don't try it. Don't you dare get yourself killed.
I'm not going to do a fucking somersault over you.
Yeah. Nobody should be doing that sort of shit. No, I can't see it easily, so I'm just going to make a standard attack.
Okay.
So, it...
I do have a pole arm. So
the one with the armour on is the one on the causeway, and it brings its claws down towards you.
Fuck.
For a total of 16. Does that beat your AC?
It equals my AC.
I think equal is hit, so... Shit. It slashes into you. And you feel a burning pain as the claws rake through for a full 12 points of damage. Could you please make me a DC 10 Constitution saving throw?
Constitution...
Oh, no, hang on. No, it's not disease, it's poison. DC 10 saving throw, please.
Okay. That's a 21.
Yeah, you, where the claws cut through, you feel your muscles suddenly tense really painfully, but you just shrug it off. So two of these things have just leaped up out of the ground. One is the one covered in coins clawing at you. The other one seems younger. They do seem like they might be related though. There's a passing familiarity amongst them all. At which point it becomes... Your go, Stoney.
Right. So which ones are in range, bearing in mind I have a glaive?
Does your glaive give you reach?
Yes, reach.
Okay. Maybe reach extended. So technically, you can attack any of the three around you.
Okay. So there's the regular looking one on Jagar. One's trying to kill Tim. And
yeah, one of the long-tongued, bigger ones is trying to kill Tim.
Tim and the other one's...
The normal one's on Yekar, and there's one above on you. However, before you start, you need to make another DC 10 saving throw for the stench.
Okay. Constitution?
Yeah.
Okay. That one I don't pass.
Okay, you are currently poisoned. You get to make this roll every time, though. At the moment you make it, you're immune for the rest of the day.
Okay.
The poison effect is probably not good, though.
Well, no.
Cursing my paladin.
I'm not cursing him, I'm trying to kill him.
Is it hurting? Stop hurting my paladin.
The GM is kind of immense.
I know. But...
So you're awfully possessive.
Yes, you belong to Gilgrim now.
No, not like that.
Right.
Just don't get dead.
Don't get dead.
Poison.
I hear that one's not curable.
Yeah.
Well, it is, but not easily. Right, you've got disadvantage on attack rolls and ability checks.
What does that mean?
It means you roll two dice and take the lowest.
Okay.
Good.
Okay, right, so I've got two attacks.
You can also do a move, so you could get up on the level with him if you wanted.
Yeah, but I kind of want to try and protect him as well.
Okay, well in that case you'd have to stay where you are and attack the other one.
Okay, I'll stay. I'm going to attack the one that's attacking Tim.
Fair enough.
Okay, so first attack.
This one is less armoured because he just studded in coins.
Yeah. That's bonus plus two. So that's 14.
That hits. Roll me some damage.
Okay, it's 1d10 slash damage. D10. That's 4 slashing damage.
What, how many did you say? 4?
4.
Okay, and then your second attack.
Okay, sorry, just checking something. That's a 3.
What, a 3 to hit?
Yeah, as in I rolled a 1 and...
No, that misses.
Yeah.
So you hit him with the very end of your spear, but can't really jam it into him. The flesh parts like, you know, the fat on a well cooked leg of lamb. It just parts like that.
Thanks for trying to put me off lamb. Thanks.
The bard, Morselor. It is your go.
Yeah.
Now there's 4 critters running towards you. One of them illuminated in light, one of them with an arrow sticking out of its chest, and over 30 foot away from you, you can see 2 long-tongued, beefy-looking chaps wailing on Stony or Tim the Drakoxen, and another of these thin chaps trying to eat your car.
So they're 30 foot away?
The ones over at the ditch are 30 foot away, the ones charging you are 20 foot away.
So the one covered in coins?
Yep.
I'm going to cast heat metal on
okay.
it. So it causes metal to glow red hot. Any physical contact with the metal causes 2d8 fire damage. And then as a bonus action, I can, on subsequent turns, incur that effect again for up to a minute.
Yep. Yeah, so all of the coins immediately glow bright red.
And that is 7 plus 6 for
13. Yeah, he doesn't even get a save, does he? 13, you say?
Hold on. He might get a saving throw. On subsequent turns, I can cause this damage again. If a creature is holding or wearing the object, it takes the damage, from it. The creature must succeed on a constitution saving throw or drop the object if it can. If it doesn't drop the object, it has disadvantage on...
Okay, well, yeah. He literally can't because they're nailed to him, so he'll be taking disadvantage, which is great. So how much damage does he take?
13.
13. Yeah, there is a sudden... You know that stench? It just got worse. As the entire front of this guy, so all of the coins suddenly start glowing red with magical power, and you're like, oh my god, what is he doing? And then he starts going... And steaming.
Oh wow.
As the front of his flesh becomes very warm.
And then, as a bonus action,
yep.
I'm going to turn to the fighter.
Yep. And Yakar.
Yakar. And say, get off your butt and start swinging that sword at those things. And I'm going to give him an inspiration die.
Okay, you've got a D8 inspiration die, Yakara. Speaking of which...
What does that do?
So you can basically roll it to add to your damage, your attack roll...
Or a saving throw.
Or a saving throw.
Or a skill check.
It's not a damage, it's an ability check, an attack roll, or a saving throw.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Incidentally, Yakar, it's now your go. So, up on the causeway, there's one of those big-tongued guys sort of thrashing around as he goes on fire. There's a thinner one in front of you trying to eat you, and then another of the long-tongued guys trying to eat Tim. Please make me... excuse me. I can breathe. Please make me a Constitution 10 saving throw, however, because you are currently in the stench.
Okay, roll me.
That is a 13.
Okay, so you're immune to the stench for the rest of today. So, what would you like to do, Yakar?
Gonna lash out with both my attacks against the one going for Tim.
Okay. Everybody loves Tim. Yeah, so make the attacks.
How does this work? What is the...
D20 plus attack.
Roll a D.
Should I do them both at
once? Yeah, you might as well.
That's a 19 on one of them.
That hits.
Plus whatever the attack bonus is.
Wait. Was that 19 on the die?
Yes.
That's a critical then.
Improve critical. Critical hit.
Okay. And a 3 on the other dice, which I don't think...
isn't going to hit anything.
What's your attack
bonus? What's their AGC?
You don't know, yes.
4. So that's 7. You could use the Bardic Inspiration to add to the attack bonus, and that might be enough to bump it up. It's a 7 at the moment.
Give it a roll?
Throw it.
It's there to be used. A 1 is not going to cut it out. An 8 doesn't hit. However, roll the damage for the critical, and then double it.
And the damage is 2d6 plus 4.
So it'll be 2d6 plus 4
times 2. I think that's not how criticals work in this edition. I think it's...
Do you have to roll them all again?
I think you roll the dice twice, but you only get the attack bonus once.
That's
I think.
Quick look.
That would be terrible.
Critical hits. Which is a thing later in this turn. Roll all the attacks damage dice twice and add them together, then add any relative... Yeah, so yeah, you just get the dice twice, and then you add the 4.
So it's 4d6 and then...
Yeah, 4d6 plus 4.
Okay, so that's 7 first then. 14 plus 4, so 18.
18 total
yeah.
Makes it 22. You leap forward and jam your sword into the thing's neck. It claws until you pull the sword out. It's still up, but it doesn't look happy, nor does it look well. Up to the top, which is sadly the dudes. The skinny ones launch their attack. First, the one in front of your car tries to latch its mouth onto your shoulder. 13, however, I suspect does not beat his AC.
No.
Okay. Then, the other 4 charge you 3. Right. One of you will get 2 attacks, the others will get 1 each. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. You get attacked twice. Elenil the Elf. So, the first one comes in and tries to claw at you. 16? Does that beat your 18?
Yeah.
Okay. So it rushes in and rakes some razor-sharp claws across you for 10 points of damage.
Can I use Uncanny Dodge?
Yes, you can use that to reduce it by half. So you take 5 points of damage, but that's it for this round.
Yeah.
The second one just does a running leap and tries to latch its mouth onto your shoulder.
Alright.
Oh my god. Natural 20. So yeah, it hits. So it's going to be 8 points of damage, and then could you make me a DC 10 constitution check?
Literally, it comes sprinting off and just leaps mouth first at you. Oh yeah, you're fine. You feel the muscles underneath where it bit sort of clench up really powerfully and then loosen off again.
Okay.
Gilgrin.
Yeah.
One rushes towards you and slashes at you with its claws. It's the one that's all limbed in light.
Yeah.
I'm guessing that 8 isn't enough to hit you.
It is not. It will bounce off my jangly shells.
The bard. The bard is being attacked. Sorry. That would have been 10, not 8. But
it's still not enough.
You get assaulted.
Before you roll or tell me the result.
Okay. I'll roll and then I'll tell you the result.
I just need to...
Oh, sorry, I did that wrong. You wouldn't have been taking the constitution check anyway. That's on the claws, not the bite. Did them the wrong way around. It doesn't matter.
Passed anyway. So this says I can choose to use this feature after the creature makes its roll.
Yep.
But before the DM determines whether the attack roll or ability check succeeds or fails, presumably, does that mean I know the dice roll but not what it is modified with the attack?
Yeah, you know the dice roll. It's a 17.
But there's no point in using this.
Okay.
So
it will slash you with a token of 21, so it's going to hit. Right, so... 9 points of damage.
Okay.
And the constitution save, please.
On the constitution save...
You have the extra saving throw thingy. Don't forget it.
I do. What does that give me? 1d4?
I think, yeah, it gives you an extra d4, I think.
There's no point to that. I rolled a 5. So I failed the constitution saving throw.
So...
How do saving throws work? I know nothing about them.
Basically, I give you a number. You roll a d20. You add the appropriate stat bonus, plus two of them for each class will be proficient, so you'll add your proficiency bonus to them as well. If you succeed, you throw off the effect.
If I rolled a 4, then, because I do have a constitution of +2, which is a 7.
I would suggest using it, like, seriously.
Okay.
You know, there's a 25% chance.
Yeah,
I did roll a 4.
Yeah. Okay. So, it rushes up and claws across your chest. And just for a moment, you go entirely paralyzed. You can't move at all. And then a little flash of warming power rushes through you and shakes it off for you.
BL has protected you today.
Thank you. Yeah. The rogue, Elenil. You've got two ghouls on you at the moment. Please note, one of your bonus actions is disengage, so you can do that for free, which moves you 30 foot away without incurring any attacks of opportunity. And you do have your bow out at the moment.
I do.
So you could just go, whoop, 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 shoot.
Yeah,
I imagine multiple backflips and stuff.
Okay, you back off quite rapidly as the things come towards you and fire off a shot. Make me a roll.
Three.
That's probably not enough, no. You fire off a shot, not a lot happens. Gilgrin.
Okay. I'm not...
Unless you were shooting the one that Gilgrin lit a bit light. But that would involve shooting in the combat.
Yeah, I'm not doing that. I feel like I should attack the currently glowing thing because it will stop glowing at the end of my turn.
Also, do you move a further 30 foot away after you've shot? Because your disengage gives you 30 foot move for free, and then you can do another 30 foot as your move if you want it. So you can be 60 foot away from the guys who just attacked you.
Yeah, that would be nice.
Okay, you move further away. Gilgrin!
Yeah, I feel like I should probably attack the thing that's right in front of me.
That's glowing.
And glowing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Flame Strike.
No. I'm fairly certain you don't have Flame Strike yet.
No, I could do Sacred Flame. Because, you know, that's free.
Yeah, but it doesn't do a lot of damage, does it?
It does 2d8.
Oh, actually, because
I'm fifth level, so it's more effective than in my actual weapons.
That's way more impressive than I expected it to be, honestly.
It's basically when you reach fifth level, the spell's damage increases by 1d8, and it's good to start with.
Okay.
And it effectively all it says is the target must succeed on a dexterity saving throw or take 1d8 radiant damage.
Okay.
And it gains no benefit from cover.
Okay. So I will take a dex roll for them then. 7, 9 isn't gonna be your spell save, so it takes 2d8 damage.
Yes, it does. Okay. 5, 10.
10 total?
Yep.
You limb this thing in light, and as it charges forward towards you and scratches at you, you then go, and bring down this thin layer of golden flame that burns it all over and then causes it to shudder, spasm, and fall backwards into the water.
That is my favourite cantrip.
The other two who are like, well, the other three who are like all around you sort of look at each other and then look at you. At which point the long-tongued ones act. The one who was going for Tim decides that actually he doesn't want to go for Tim and launches himself at your car. He is going to try and claw your car. He, however, continues to be utterly fucking inept and falls face first into the drainage ditch. He's prone in front of you. The other one, who is currently feeling a bit warm, will attempt to attack you, but of course is at disadvantage, so that's probably the roll he's... No, that's the roll he ends up with. A total of 10.
So who's
he
attacking?
You.
No.
He's like... as he flails wildly. Paladin. Make me a DC 10 constitution check to see if you can throw off the stench.
10.
Okay, you've managed to choke down the bile, and you can fight normally now.
Gag reflex, crush thumb.
Right.
Okay.
So there is, up on the causeway, the guy who, the entire front of him is currently glowing cherry red. Then there's the guy who's fallen prone, and therefore is easy to hit, and then there's one of the skinny dudes. Also, way at the back, you now see the bard and the cleric are surrounded by three of the skinny guys, and the rogue is much further away.
Okay,
but still has a blowout, so.
I think we need to deal with the ones in front of us for the moment.
That's fair.
Okay, I will... Yeah. I'll go for the guy who's... I'll go for Captain Bling.
Okay, Captain Bling it is. Mm. You bring your glaive around and strike at him.
Okay, first attack. That was a fucking 5, so no.
It hits, but it skitters off the thick plate of coins he's nailed to his flesh.
That's a bit better. That's a 16.
That will damage him.
Okay, so d10 slashing damage. Ooh. Can I actually also, I'd like to spend a spell slot and activate Divine Smite.
Okay. What does Divine Smite do?
Right, so, starting to 2d8 using a first level spell slot.
Okay.
An extra d8 for each higher level of spell slot you use after that.
Yeah.
And an extra d8 if it is an undead or a fiend.
It is an undead, so you're rolling d10 plus 3d8.
Yeah, okay.
He's having a really bad day.
Right, so there's a d10. Not off to a great start.
D8s.
Do you have some d8s? Thank you.
No, D&D, the game that makes you roll a lot of dice.
So many dice.
Oh, that's nice. 18 total.
Ooh, fucking hell, that's painful. 18 total, you say?
Mm. That's a level 1 spell slot used for today.
Wow, okay.
That was a level 1 spell slot.
Yep.
He ain't dead yet.
Which one was this?
The guy with all the coins. So you bring your glaive up and sweep it down towards his leg. And it clangs off a thick plate of coins down one side of his leg. So you reverse the grip and drive the point into his stomach. And then there's a flash of divine light as golden wings explode from Stoney's back. And when the light fades, you see that there is like a blackened, ripped mess where this creature's stomach used to be. And it's down on one knee, clutching at it frantically. At which point we come to the bard. Would you like to inflict some Burny Death?
Yeah, I'm going to use my bonus action to...
Inflict Burny Death?
Yes. So I think it's 2d8 again.
It will be 2d8 again, yes.
Which is 7 damage.
I, for the first time in this campaign, get to ask the question immortalized by Mr. Matthew Mercer. How would you like to kill this frog? Oh, damn it, I said it wrong. But how would you like to kill him?
Because
he dies.
His skin.
Can you put the button? But yes.
His skin starts to bubble where the coins are all across him, and slowly they start to sink into his flesh, and he just sort of drops to the ground.
He falls backwards as the coins on the front of him burn their way through to the back of him.
Yeah, basically.
There is a popping and a singeing and a squelching sound. Now, hopefully, we're about to get our warrior back. As it's quite late, I'm going to move on and we'll do his go when he comes back.
I still have an action.
Oh my goodness, action. That was your bonus action. Yeah. Okay, fair enough.
So, I'm going to cast... There are, what, 3 or 4 in front of us?
There's 3 now.
Three?
Because Gilgrim just melted one.
I'm going to cast Thunderwave.
Okay, yeah, no, that works. Thunderwave.
Fine.
A large concussive sound.
It's in a cube again.
Well, you can put the cube further out from you.
Originating from me, so it's around me.
Yeah, so it would affect Gilgwyn. Oh, can you click answer?
Hello.
Hello, welcome back.
Ah.
Don't worry, the bard is still taking his action. Yeah, you can do it, but it will also affect Gilgwyn.
What's it
do? It does...
Damage and pushes you away, basically.
Yeah.
Don't hurt
my friend.
See, you do it too. It's not just me.
Yeah, I said friend, I didn't act like I owned you.
I don't own you, I just don't want you getting murdered.
I'm going to cast Thunderwave.
Okay, right. What is your spell save DC?
16.
Gilgrim, make me a DC 16 constitution save, and then I will do the same for these critters.
So I've just got to roll my dice and add constitution.
Your constitution bonus, yeah. Are you proficient in constitution?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, no.
Okay, they all fail as well.
That's 14 damage, and you're all pushed back 10 feet.
Okay, so...
I didn't want to go down again this session.
Listen to him. I just want you to appreciate the death glare Archive just gave the Dark. It was amazing.
Right, you take 14 damage.
Yeah.
You're pushed directly sideways away from him, along with one of the critters. The other two critters are pushed directly away from you. There is a resounding boom.
I would also like to point out the range of the sound. The thunderous boom goes 300 feet.
Yeah.
I don't know if that will affect anything.
Yeah, you hear it echo off...
You
hear it echo off the walls of the town. All around you, just hear boom. Yeah, you'll push back. So, at this point, it becomes your car. There is a colossal noise over there, and then a sort of splooshing sound. The guy with all the coins is very dead. The other guy is lying prone in front of you. There's one of the skinny guys also trying to get at you, but not doing too well.
Okay. The ones in front of me, how are they in relation to each other? Might they be in, say, line?
No, they're next to each other.
Oh, damn! Wait, why? Move actions.
Yeah, you move out of the side and put them in a line?
Yeah, you could do that.
Would it endanger anybody?
No.
Okay.
You wouldn't even leave their close combat range, because the one who's prone doesn't currently have close combat range.
He's mainly asking Tim's sake, not mine.
Yeah. Nobody cares about Stony, it's just Tim.
Everyone loves Tim.
It's that.
Well, I'm gonna line them up and breath weapon them.
You're gonna line them up on what, then?
Breath weapon.
Oh, fair enough.
Lightning!
You take a step to your left, then take a deep breath, and then go...
Are we not in water?
Yeah.
Okay.
Shit.
Just saying.
Yeah.
Fine, I won't do it.
No,
I won't.
You just did. So, could you please roll me some damage?
What's the damage to roll for it?
Yeah, it's a good question.
It's breath weapon.
Breath weapon is lightning.
Breath weapon.
I'm sort of imagining it's like Godzilla.
Yeah, it is pretty much.
Fire rather than lightning, but it's actually more like King Ghidorah.
Yeah. It is. They make a constitution, the DC is 8 plus your con modifier plus your proficiency bonus, so the DC is...
what plus your con modifier?
8 plus con plus proficiency.
So that should be...
13, okay.
Is that right?
And they take 2d6
level 5
damage.
Should be proficiency 3.
Oh, okay, so that was up to...
14
then.
Okay, he fails. And he succeeds. So the first one takes 2d6 damage, the second one takes 2d6 half.
Okay, first one is 9 damage.
Okay.
And the second one is 3 damage.
3. Right. Tim. Takes 2d6 points of damage, please.
Does anyone have Tim's health?
Just roll me 2d6 points of damage.
I mentioned stats. That is 3.
3? Stony, could you make me a constitution check, please?
Okay, so that's 1. That's 7.
Stony, you take 2d6 points of damage.
7.
Sorry.
Okay, 7 points of damage. So, basically what happens is, you're aiming it to get the guy who's in the ditch still and the guy who's prone. So you have to aim it down towards the water. So, breathe lightning and they both start juddering and then lightning bolts sort of bleed out to the edge and also catch Stony and Tim.
My question is this, would the lightning that goes to them necessarily be as strong as the full force bolt?
They're standing right next to them. I'm not going to start reducing them.
All right.
At this sort of range. All right. However, you do still... Oh, no, you took a move and another thing. So, up at the top.
I didn't kill them, Jesus.
No. The one who was fighting you... he will actually scramble to try and attack Stony as you're the next person in line. He claws at you. 12.
No.
Right. The three ghouls over by you, will spend a move action to get back at you. Now, what would the really bad ghouls do? The really badly injured one goes running towards the rogue because he's still got an arrow sticking out of his chest. He doesn't get there, but he is getting closer. One of the ghouls who was knocked over near you, knocked back with you, sort of stands up, looks over at you, looks over at the bard, then looks back at you. You almost get a feeling of, I really want to go after the bar, but you're right here, so... And then he tries to bite you. No, he doesn't bite you. He sort of goes... He makes a half-hearted attempt to bite you and falls face first into the mud. The other one runs back up towards you and tries to assault you in the face. He calls you for 20. His roll was 16.
Yeah, I might use my dice, not to reduce his attack roll, because I think that's going to hit, but I can reduce his damage.
Okay, that's fair. He's clawing at you, so... 9 points of damage.
So, and reduce it with my reaction by 6.
6. So you take 3 points of damage and then make me a DC 10 constitute.
Okay. 8 plus my constitution to 10.
Okay. So you make it. Yeah. Again, you feel the sort of tensing of your muscles and then they fade out again. Elenil, there's a thing charging towards you with one of your arrows already sticking out of it. What would you like to do?
Well, it's nice of him to bring it back.
Yeah.
But I'd like to try and... How far am I from the path?
You're still 30 foot from the path because you moved directly away. And remember, there's a ditch.
Yeah. And he is the guy coming towards me.
He's 30 foot away.
Yeah, in which direction?
Horizontally. You're adjacent to the path. You moved directly away from him.
Yeah.
Along the side of the path, so the path stayed 30 foot from you. He came up to where you were all standing. Mm-hmm. He's obviously angry with you because he's come past those two to get towards you. Presumably because you stuck a sharpened bit of wood in him.
Yeah, that would do it. Although I could try it and then use my cunning action to dash.
Yeah, you could. Path. So what are you going to do?
I'm going to try using Ray of Frost.
Okay. Ray of Frost. So, some Frost Elf magic is brought into play. Just proving to everybody that, yes, she is indeed a Frost Elf. So, it just gets hit straight away. Oh no, you make a ranged spell attack.
Yeah.
So, ranged spell attack please. 5,
intelligence.
You miss.
Yep.
But then you can still dash.
I'm still gonna dash.
Okay.
For the path.
Okay, you can get to the path because you've got 2 moves at this point. So you spend the first move getting to the ditch and the second one getting over it. You're now up on the path.
Okay.
There's a melted dude up here. It seems like all the coins that were nailed into his body just melted through his body.
Nice.
Gilgrin. The one that you'd limbed in might is very dead.
Yeah.
The one that tried to bite you is lying on the floor in front of you, prone.
Yeah, I'm sort of just gonna give it a sort of I know how you feel, look. And then sort of try and murder him.
Guiding bolt the bar. No.
I'm more likely to just sacred flame the thing lying in the mud.
Okay. That's
so, fair. Dexterity saving throw, please.
It's a disadvantage of prone. Yeah, it gets 12. No, 11.
Okay. And that's against the spell save DC?
Yeah.
Okay, fine. So, yeah, that's lower.
Okay, so yeah, she takes it takes damage.
Yeah. 8
points of damage on that one. Well, how do you kill him?
Well, like, I give it this, you know, sort of, I know how you feel, look. Mm-hmm. Just bring my staff up slightly, bring my staff down, and that's when all the light comes down and burns it to death. Yay!
So, Bernie, flame, and it cooks slowly.
And then I look at the bard.
And then you look at the bard. So, At which point it becomes the beefy guy with the long tongue who is lying prone and slightly electrocuted in front of you all. He gets to his feet, goes, "No, I don't want to die," and scuttles backwards away from you.
That's creepy.
He's like maybe 30 foot away now. He uses his whole move for a disengage effectively. Mr. Paladin.
I don't give a fuck! Charge and stab him.
Okay.
My movement's 30, so I can just get right
Yeah.
Yeah, and then two attacks. That was a 1 on the first attack.
Yeah, no.
Okay.
You miss.
Second run. That's 14.
Is enough to hit this one.
Okay, and I will again do Divine Smite.
Okay. So roll a ton of damage.
Yeah, so D10 plus 3D8. So...
Very good, bye.
That's an 8 on the D10. And then... 14.
Okay, he was on. How does he die?
So I go with the first swing is sort of just a sort of... diagonal cut trying to come down through the shoulder. Mm-hmm. He sort of leans forward enough to avoid it, so I curve it back around, bring it up through his armpit, taking off the arm, and then it goes up sort of diagonally slicing through his skull.
He falls down in several pieces.
Funk. Boom.
Morselor. You have one of the skinny dudes on you.
Yep.
There's one other skinny dude behind you running towards the rogue, and another one fighting with the dragonkin over in the ditch.
I'm just going to use my action to cast Vicious Mockery on the one in front of me.
Okay.
And call it a slimy, rotten piece of I think that's the first time I've sworn on the podcast.
Our podcast has an explicit tag. We swear all the time.
One of us. One of us.
And do 2d4 psychic damage.
Okay. So with a vaguely tentative, you're a slimy piece of shit.
I can't tell what that's.
What even are you?
5 damage to it, and I believe it gains... Oh, it makes a wisdom saving throw.
Alright, it's gonna fail. It fails. Gets 3.
And it also has disadvantage on the next attack roll it makes before...
Okay. So you go, "You're a horrible piece of shit," and it goes, "Oh." Yakar, there is one of the skinny dudes left in front of you. He's down in the ditch, you're up on the causeway. The rogue is now up on the causeway with you, although one of the skinny guys is running towards us still.
Okay, free action, ask the rogue, need a hand?
Yep.
Move action, interpose between the one, basically move out to meet the one running towards her.
Yes, you can do that. You can still make an attack.
Yep, both attacks, please.
One of them, what's the attack bonus?
4.
4. So one of them is a 19, and one of them is a 13.
Both hit.
Okay.
So, mucho damage.
Is it 2d6, was it?
2d6.
Alright.
Yeah, don't bother.
2d6. Okay. And
how does this one die?
Yagar steps into its path, slams the pommel of his sword so hard into the thing its chest shatters, steps back, and while half sorting, lops its head off.
Yep, that thing happens. There's a rain of faintly slimy black blood as it topples.
If you'll take a look, if folks are interested, take a look at Skype. This is the sword he's swinging at the damn thing.
Right. The other two skinny guys, leg it. They have had enough. They turn and flee. The one that's in the drainage ditch just disappears instantly beneath the water, and you see the ripple moving away. The other one runs back to the drainage ditch it came from and just dives headfirst into it. There is a sploosh. The area becomes quiet. What are you all doing very quickly?
Getting out of the water.
Getting into the causeway. Getting out onto the causeway.
Okay. You all hear the sounds of feet running along the top of the wall in your direction.
Could be anything.
What are you doing?
Okay. Okay, well, I also grab Tim, pop him up.
Yeah, that's okay. Fine. You're all on the causeway at the moment. You can hear running feet coming in this direction. What are you all doing?
I'll get out my crossbow.
Okay.
Are the walls of the city flat? Straight down?
Well, there's a gate at the end of this road.
Yes.
Which is, it goes in before there's a big fall of rocks, admittedly.
Yeah.
There's a slight overhang. But if somebody leaned out from the wall,
yeah,
they'd be able to see you. But if you were right against the wall, maybe not. But you could definitely get under the gateway.
Yeah.
Move to the gateway as fast as possible.
Okay, then. You all rush forwards and dive into the gateway. Do you go too, Gilgamesh?
Yeah.
Yeah, everybody happy with that? Okay. You all slam yourself against this huge ball of rock that's filled the gateway from floor to ceiling. And above you, the footsteps stop. It goes quiet. Then from the other side of the wall you hear, "What's going on? Do you see anything?" Then from pretty much directly above you, "I can't see anything. I think it's the death devourers again. Damn it. We'll need to kill them off if the dam doesn't work. Ugh. Let's hope it doesn't come to that." And then you hear the footsteps retreating again. And that's where we're going to end for the evening. We hope you've enjoyed listening to this combat. Admittedly, it was mostly combat this time, but we are slowly getting to grips with the game, and as we do, I'm sure everything will become faster. Thank you very much for listening to us. We hope you enjoyed it. If you'd like to leave us iTunes reviews, please do, because we love iTunes reviews. They are wondrous, and they help people find us. If you'd like to talk to us, you can talk to us at thecultofteamdice.net or thecultofteamdice@gmail.com, or you can even talk to us on the Twitters @cultteamdice. You can talk to me on the Twitters @Mordrigan, that's M-A-W-D-R-I-G-E-N. You can talk to him @BloodiedFox, all one word, no underscores. You can talk to him @WeirdDogAllegory. You can talk to her @TGrabbing. Thank you very much for listening, and remember, if there are ripples in the water, that's probably a bad thing. Bye!
Bye.